Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I'm going to invite you to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. And we are in a series on surviving the end times. And we're saying this because the Bible gives us some warning. It says that in the last days, some shall depart from the faith. And then Paul, talking to the church at Thessalonica, said that there would be a falling away. And so I don't know about you, but I take those warnings seriously. Amen. I want to make sure that, you know, when the dust is settled, I'm still standing. How about you? Amen. And, you know, I know that we could look at us and you say, well, Pastor, there's absolutely no way in the world that you would ever leave the faith. Well, I hope that's true, and I believe that's true, but you have to guard yourself. You know, because it doesn't happen overnight. You don't just wake up one day and decide, you know, I think I'll leave the faith before the end of the day. I mean, you know, it's compromises that causes you to leave the faith, right? Yeah. Just along the way, little compromises here, little compromises there. Amen. It's like we said, it's not like, you know, it's kind of like putting on weight. You don't just do it in one day. Well, I mean, you can put some on in one day. But, you know, not as much as some of us have accumulated. Mine didn't come in one day. It took some time. When I got out of high school, I was probably about 134 to 140 pounds, probably. And, you know, I just over the years, something happened. And it's not like I went out to eat pizza one night and overate, and here we are. Amen. It takes some time, right? And so I'm just saying that just kind of give you a picture because, you know, when you could say to yourself, I don't believe I'd ever depart from the faith. But if you compromise, one compromise leads to another compromise, to another compromise, to another compromise, until eventually you've drifted so far away, you've left the faith. And we want to just be sure that we stay strong. Amen. In the last days. Not only stay strong, but advance and are victorious. So last week we talked about having peace in troubled times. Today we're going to talk about the trap of offense. And I'm going to go to Matthew 24 and I'm going to read verse 10. Then we look at some other things if we have the time this morning. But Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, this is Jesus and he said, and then shall many... How many's many? That's a lot, isn't it? Many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now, I believe that that is a pretty good description of our time. That we have a lot of offended people. I can't say about other countries, but I know in our country, we have a lot of offended people. I mean, we got this group offended at this group, and that group offended at that group, and it just seemed like you can't say anything without somebody being offended. You know, we have something in our cultures called PC, political correctness. What President Trump hasn't destroyed is still around. And I'm not saying that condemning him. I'm glad he's destroying it. It needs to be destroyed. We need to get our feelings off our sleeves. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to work for God and be anything in the kingdom, you better get rid of the feelings off your sleeves. Because if you got them on your sleeves, the devil will tromp all over the top of them. Come on with me. Sometimes you got people wanting to be pastors and they get offended over the least little thing. I say, you're not going to make it throughout. You're not going to make it through the end of the week. So we have to learn that this is actually prophesied by Jesus. And so it's not something we can pray away, but it is something that we can prepare for. How many know the things that Jesus prophesied, we can't pray them away. We can't faith them away. We can't prophesy them away. They're going to happen because he said they're going to happen. And you know what? I've just been checking up on Jesus lately. You know what I found out? He's got a pretty good track record. Yeah, he's always right. I was reading through my Bible. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but well, the way it does, when talking about how, you know, Jesus has got a pretty good track record. But I was reading through my Bible one day, and I was just reading through the Isaiah. I can't tell you the chapter right now. I don't remember, but I was reading in Isaiah, and it was talking about what was going to happen with Israel, you know. And it said that, talked about the fruit that would be in Israel, that the fruit of Israel, talking about natural fruit, would fill, talking about, you know, apples, pears, that kind of, I mean, I know what I'm talking about, fruit. That kind of fruit would, it said it would fill the earth. When I read it, I thought, I wonder if that happened. So I did a little research and I found out Israel is the top fruit producing nation in the world. I thought, well, you know what? God happens to know a thing or two, doesn't he? About the future, right? So when Jesus said, many shall be offended, we need to wake up, right? And realize we don't want to be one of the many that are offended. Amen. Because if we are, we could be in trouble. We could be real trouble. Because offense is a big trap of the devil. You know, he'll take something that somebody said and magnify it 100 times. You know, are you listening now? You just said something, you didn't really mean it as offensive, but the devil began playing people's minds and getting them to think about it. You know, I think this is what they meant. I know that's what they said, but what they really meant was. How many know we need to drop that? That's of the devil. That word in your Bible, that the word offense or offended, it is a Greek word that actually means to ensnare or to trap. And I found this was interesting when studying this years ago. I found out that in Greek, the trigger on a trap, on a snare trap, is called skandalon. Now, the reason that's interesting is because the word offense in your New Testament is the Greek word skandalon. I thought that's pretty interesting that the Greeks call the trigger on the trap the skandalon. And when Jesus referring to offense, it was called skandalon, a trap. So it's like the devil is trying to trap you in offense, to get offended. I don't know, is it just me? Does it just seem like a lot of people are offended today? I mean, everywhere you go, they're offended. Well, I'm not getting my rights, and you know what I'm saying? People get offended at churches. I mean, they get offended. Well, they come to church. They say, well, I remember when we first started, you know, we had one Sunday school class. Thank you, Miss Emily. Isn't she wonderful? She's been doing this for over 20-some years. I mean, I'm thankful for everybody's doing it, but I mean, she was the beginning. We had one class, and I remember a couple came, and I was just talking with them, and they said, what about Sunday school? I said, we got a Sunday school class. You got a Sunday school class? Huh. I'm thinking, and they never came back. I'm thinking, well, probably good they didn't, because I don't really care to have that kind of people in my church anyway. But anyway, but you know, I'm thinking, I thought we were doing good. We just started. At least we got a class. I was feeling pretty good till they came along. But you know, people get offended. You know, they get offended over things. They get offended real easily. You know, they get offended. You know, like, well, I came and you didn't have a canoe ministry. I never thought about it, you know. There's a lot of ministries we don't have and never will have. Get your little canoe and go canoeing. Find a friend. Yeah, but not on Sunday. Park your canoe on Sunday until church is over. All right, so all kinds of things that people get offended over, and some of they just make a mountain out of a molehill. And I know sometimes people have things done to them that are major. I understand that. I'm not belittling any of that. Well, I'm just simply saying there is a spirit of offense in our country today, maybe throughout the world. I don't know. I don't live. I go to other places, but I don't live there, so I don't know. But I do know right here because I live here, and I happen to know that you don't have to watch the news but a few seconds to find out somebody's offended over something. I'm not getting mine, and, you know, I'm not getting this, and, you know, I deserve this, and bless God, the government owes me. The government doesn't owe you nothing. God doesn't owe you anything. You better be glad he let you breathe his air. Okay, you're offended. But, you know, I don't know about you. Every now and then, I like somebody to talk straight to me. And I think sometimes we need to understand and just wake up. We've got it good. Hallelujah.
We got it going. And so offense is a trap now. Now let's go, I want to go over to the Old Testament. There's a scripture in Ezekiel, way back in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel. Go there, Ezekiel chapter 28, because I want to read this, and I want to show you this offense thing comes from Satan. He's the root of it. It's to separate, people from one another. I may have time, I may not this morning, but I can show you, it'll separate you from God. You can get offended at God. I've seen that happen as a pastor where people say, well, God didn't answer my prayer, and, I'm not serving him any longer. Or one of my family members passed on. We were praying for healing for him, and they passed on. And, if that's the way God is, if he doesn't do any more than that, then I'm done serving him. Well, you're probably a baby in the Lord, and you just need a good spanking. Maybe a timeout. If it's severe enough, maybe a knockout. But you need some adjustment. How many know what I'm talking about? And I understand babies sometimes, they don't know any better. They just do what they do, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I go into my office, and your one-year-old is in there and he's coloring on my wall, I'm not going to have a big issue with that, because that's what one-year-old, you put a crayon in the kid's hand and you expect him not to color on the wall, something's wrong with you. All right? You're the problem. All right? But now if your 14-year-old's in there, I'm going to call you in and say, hey, we need to deal with this, Because as you grow, more is expected. But, sometimes people that are saints have been saints for a long time get offended over the silliest little things. Well, who's offended this morning? Well, I don't know. Maybe you are. But I'm trying to help you this morning. Because this spirit, you understand, the spirit that's in the world tries to get into the church. Amen. See, if that spirit of offense is out there, and it is out there because the world is offended, all you got to do is just read social media a little bit. You'll find out there's a lot of offended people. I'm not getting mine. I'm not getting mine. I'm not getting mine, and all that. Well, how about do like we used to do and work for it? Well, that offends me. We got a problem when the truth offends people. Well, pastor's preaching good this morning. I don't know if you know that. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, to tell the truth today, people, it's so foreign to them. They've been babied and coddled for so long, such a politically correct culture. When you speak truth to them, it's just like, you're the devil. You're confused. I got these principles from the Word. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I come to hear something good this morning. Well, hang around. We'll have the praise team come to sing again. Now, Ezekiel chapter 28, go there, and I just want to just read to you just a few verses here, and I want to show you something, that this thing called offense, it's of the devil. It's literally demonic. It really started with him. It's a trap. It's a trap to snare you, to take you out of the plan of God. Now, Ezekiel 28, go with me to verse 11. You got it? All right, I'll give you time. Verse 11 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus says the Lord God, you seal up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Now, what is this? Well, I want to say, before we read on, okay, because we're going to read some more verses, but I want to say this to you, and I want you to be thinking this way. This is literally, in Ezekiel 28, I believe, a prophetic word about Lucifer, or Satan. And you're going to see this in a minute. It has to be not a man. I know it says King of Tyrus, but sometimes the Bible has double reference, double prophecies, and so forth. And it refers to one thing at one time and one thing at another time. And what this is talking about is the devil. How many know the devil, when he was created, he sealed up the sum. He was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. See, now read on. It says, thou hast, verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Well, we know the literal king of Tyrus wasn't in Eden, the garden of God. We actually have some history about Eden. And we know who was in Eden. We know that God was in Eden. Wasn't he? Said he came down to walk in the cool of the day. We know that Adam and Eve were in Eden, right? And we know somebody else came into Eden, right? And when they sinned, we know the devil came in, right? When they sinned,
God drove them out of the garden. So that's all that was ever in Eden. So we understand this is not talking about a literal king, all right? And it goes on to say, verse 13, thou wast in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardas, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. I feel like I'm shopping for my wife. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day. Now notice this, here's another clue. Thou wast created. We happen to know the king of Tyrus wasn't created. He was born. All right, so we're seeing something here. He said, verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub. Now we know this isn't the king of Tyrus, right? This isn't a man, right? This is talking about in his former days, he was called Lucifer. That meant light bearer. God created him as a good being. He's the one that chose to go bad. And he says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So this is, I want to make sure that we are on the same page. This is talking about Satan. It's talking about his fall. It's talking about the way God created him, and talks about the iniquity was found in him. God found, in other words, let me just say this to you. See what happened? Well, we're going to see that Satan decided to kick God out of his life. Okay? Now, you can't take God out of something and it not be filled with bad. There's only two forces, good and evil. So if you kick God out of something, the vacuum gets filled, right? See, there's no way to kick God out of schools and keep the devil out too. One has to be there, right? So if you kick God out, like which was done in America, and now they can't understand why we have all the problems in school, well, because we kicked God out and the vacuum got filled with evil, right? See, you kick God out of the government, it gets filled with evil. Well, you tell me that you don't believe in separation of church and state. That's what I'm telling you. Not the way it's believed. The way it was originally formed, separation of church and state meant that the state had to stay out of the church. Now the state's in the church and the church is supposed to stay out of the state. So it's just backwards. I saw a church sign in Newburgh one time. I loved it. It said, rapture, separation of church and state. Hallelujah. That day's coming. Praise the Lord. Now, so you understand this is not talking about a natural man. It's talking about the devil. Verse 16. Now, this gets a little, you're going to have to trust me a little bit on this and believe I've done my study on it, because I don't have time to take you into all the background behind it, but just listen to me. Trust me. And you can check it out later if you so desire. Just do your own study. But verse 16 says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now what on earth does that mean? Was like merchandise. Was like the devil going up and down heaven peddling like beads and stuff? Selling out of the trunk of his chariot? What is it talking about? Well, you understand, your translation may do a different, say it differently, a different word. You have to do a little digging if you're going to get into the deeper truths. The word merchandise means to travel as a peddler, or to travel for trading. And how many know peddling means to sell something? That means you're pushing something. You know, we used to talk about in the 60s and 70s, they're peddling dope. What do you mean? They're pushing dope. We say, you know, we call them pushers. You know, maybe you were a pusher. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, all right. I pushed a little myself. But we were peddling our product. See? So the devil is in eons past, he's peddling something. Okay? Whatever he was peddling, it got him into trouble. Iniquity was found in him. Now, as we read on, it goes on to say, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities and by the iniquity of your traffic. Therefore will I bring thee, therefore will I bring forth a fire in the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee the ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Hemuel, there is a day coming when the devil is going to be dealt with, final verdict. Right? All right. And but now, notice it talks about in verse 18 again, by the iniquity of your traffic. Now that word traffic, once again, it means to trade or to peddle, to go about, to push something. And it's interesting, this verse right here connects to a verse in Leviticus 19:16 that says, you shall not go up and down your people as a talebearer. That word talebearer means a scandal monger, to travel about spreading scandal, talebearing. Tail, you know how many, a tail is what? It's a story, right? And we always, as growing up, we were always made to believe that a tale wasn't true. It's just a story. So the devil, and you connect this with Leviticus 19:16 and connect all those Hebrew words together and all, you connect it together. What this is actually saying is the devil went about pushing something, and what he pushed was slander. He was a talebearer. In other words, he went around trying to get the angels offended at God. We know that it worked, at least partly, because one third of the angels fell with him. Well, how did they fall? They had to have an offense against God. How could you? You know, the Bible said he got lifted up because of his beauty, because of his brightness, because of how God made him. In other words, God made the devil so, I mean, he was tops. He was the anointed cherub that covered. Some believe, because of the scripture there, that he was the worship leader in heaven. I don't have any problems with that. But he had so much glory about him. He had so much power about him. God had given him so much authority that it went to his head, and he thought that he had enough to take over God. I mean, that's a really bad, dumb thought. Right? And so, when you piece this together, you have to just let me just preach to you, and just trust me. You can do the study yourself. I'm not going to take you to these scriptures this morning, but you can tie these scriptures, like I said, with Leviticus 19:16, where God said, don't go up and down as a talebearer. It'll bring you back to this scripture here, where the devil, because of his traffic, his trading, his peddling. I believe the devil peddled offense against God throughout heaven. And one third of the angels fell for it. I'm telling you that there'll be a day they wish they hadn't have. Right? Now, so one third. Now think about this. Okay? There, and I don't have time to go there, but there's a scripture. You can write it down if you want to. Come on, are you getting something tonight, this morning? All right. There's a scripture in Matthew 16:21-23 where Jesus begins to tell his disciples, he said, you know, the Son of Man is going to have to go to Jerusalem and be betrayed and be crucified and be evilly treated by the scribes and the Pharisees. And then Peter pulled him aside. He pulls Jesus aside. He says, now, Lord, that be far from you. That's not going to happen to you. I mean, you're wonderful. You're awesome, which is true, right? Nothing like that would ever happen to you. You're too good. You're too wonderful. You're too pure. You're too holy. You're too anointed. Nothing like that would happen to you. And Jesus, instead of saying, oh, thanks, Peter, he looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. For you're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. For you are an offense unto me. Now, what do we see? I believe this. The devil was trying to get Jesus offended. Like, here I am, you know, I mean, I've lived for God, you know, and I've just done that which is right, and I've kept the law perfect, and now here I'm going to be treated this way? Something doesn't seem right about that. How many of Jesus didn't fall for it? He said, get behind me, Satan. See, when offense comes your way, do the same thing Jesus did. Get behind me, devil. I'm not going to yield to that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to accept your offense. He'll find something. I think Pastor was talking right at me. I just believe he was. I just believe Pastor meant it for me. Well, you know, the reason you probably think I meant it for you is because it hit you. But really, believe me, I wasn't thinking about you. Not that I don't think about you, but I mean, wasn't aimed at you. I like a saying I heard years ago. It said, if you throw a rock into a pack of wild dogs, the one that yelps the loudest, that's the one you hit. So just act cool and nobody will know. Say, man, I didn't need that this morning. You need that? How many understand the devil will magnify anything he can? You know, marriage is split over toothpaste. Well, you leave the cap messy. Well, lick it off. And now they'll stop doing it. You say, you know, you left that messy. I bet next time it's clean. You know, sometimes really, honestly, you know, marriages will split over the stupidest things. She burns toast. My wife has a saying to me. She says, I don't mind it black if you don't, which I do. So I just fix it myself, right? Well, she'll tell you this. I'm not saying anything. I mean, she doesn't like to cook. And I used to like. I've lost my taste for it, so I don't know what we're going to do. I guess lose weight. I lose weight, I guess. Because, you know, she never did like to cook, you know. And I did. And then all of a sudden, it's like, man, this isn't worth it, man. 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, and it's gone. And well, for me, it's gone in like 3 minutes. Normal person's gone in 15, you know. But those small things, you know, the devil will magnify things that are just small. Understand, big things happen and they need to be dealt with. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you overlook everything. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there's a way to deal with things without getting an offense about it. Right? Just deal with it head on and say, you know, that wasn't right. You need to stop that. But you don't have to be offended about it. Amen. Now, glory to God. Say, I'm getting something. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, because I want to look at one last scripture, and then we're going to let you go. But the last one, I really think, is, if I'm going to offend you, I'm really going to offend you here. Luke 17. So I want to get that one in, because I want you to be a doer of the word. I don't think you got the way I said that. I'm going to offend you so you can practice not being offended. How about that, all right? Let me offend you, and then, you know, I mean, we shouldn't be offending people on purpose, right? But I'm going to give you something that I think will challenge you here. Now, Luke 17, look at this. Luke 17, verse 1, Jesus said this. Then said he to his disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. So they're going to come, right? But woe unto him through whom they come. In other words, if you're doing this on purpose, woe to you. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast in the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. So here, listen, now, this, I'm just being scriptural. If you come to my office and you say, you know, I am miffed at brother so-and-so, and I'm thinking about really letting him have it. I'm thinking about really offending him. I'm really thinking about just giving him the right act. I'm just thinking about doing it. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down to the Ohio River. I'm going to tie a concrete block on you and we're going to throw you off a boat. How many know Jesus said it would be? It'd be better if we did that than let you go do what you're going to do. I could say it more plain than that, but, you know, I don't want to offend you. But you got to understand, that's how serious it is if we're offending people. If we're one of these people that are going around offending. I met a woman one time in church. I don't know why she thought she had to tell me this. But it just shows how ignorant sometimes people are in their thinking. And, I mean, the first thing she said to me is, I don't like you.
Well, I'm not so sure I like you now. I mean, as far as I knew, I never met her. But she had probably heard me on the radio or whatever, you know, and I probably said something to offend her. Because what happened was God gave me a prophetic word for us preaching at this church. It wasn't my church. I was preaching another church. God pointed her out. And I gave her a prophetic word about her family. She comes up to her service. She says, that was right on. She says, I just can't believe God used you to give me that word. I said, why? She said, I don't like you. That's real mature. I think we should, Jesus said woe to people that do that kind of stuff. Now, I don't know what happened with her. I don't know. As far as I know, I ever spoke to her in my life. And then a person like that, and then they start coming to your meetings, you know, and they still don't like you. You know what I'm saying? But we can still be mature. We don't have to like one another to walk in love. How many know that? Dr. Barkley had a guy in his church one time. He said, I'm leaving the church. Dr. Barkley said, why? He said, I don't like you. Dr. Barkley said, well, I'm not that bad. He said, just hang around and help me preach, man. Come on, help me preach the gospel. He said, I'm not that bad. The guy said, well, all right. He said, 20 years later, he's still here. He said, I still don't think he likes me. But it shows the guy's mature. He knows where he belongs, right? You know, well, I know that if God ever called me to do something, then I would like it. Jonah? Are you in Luke still 17? Look, notice he said it's impossible the offenses are going to come. Well, woe to whom they come, through. But now I want you to notice what he tells us about offenses. Verse 3, take heed to yourselves. Isn't that interesting? He said, take heed to yourself. When offenses come, you better watch yourself that you don't let that get in you. See, now read on. I'm going to read this, because I'm going to just take just a few moments here. Just bear with me. Verse 3, take heed to yourself. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, turn again and say to you, I repent. Thou shalt forgive him. You know, Peter asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? Jesus said, you know, seven times what? Seven. That's 490 times. Now, if somebody offends you 490 times in one day, I'd think, first of all, if I had a friend that offended me 490 times in one day, I'd get a new friend. But notice this. Notice what the disciples said. He says, forgive them. Now, I got a feeling this is Peter. I don't know, but I got a feeling. The apostles said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. If we have to forgive people, we need more faith. Won't you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd say unto the sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root, be thou cast and planted in the sea, it should obey you. Pardon me, I'm going fast, I'm trying to get through. Won't you notice what Jesus is saying? He's saying, it's not more faith you need. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, look what you could do. You don't need more faith. Look what he said, verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith that I may sup, gird yourself, serve me till I've eaten and drunken, and afterwards you shall eat and drink. See, he's saying, look, you don't tell your servant, now, wait, you've been working, sit down, I'm going to serve you. No, you say, serve me. And does he thank that servant because he did those things which were commanded him? I think not. Now notice this, so likewise, when you've done all those things which are commanded you, everybody say, commanded me. Those things that are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. Now, what is the Lord saying? He said, it's your duty to let go of offenses. You don't need more faith. You don't need me to pat you on the back and say, good job. It's your duty. That's what you're supposed to do as believers, because to him that's been forgiven much should be a big forgiver. All right. Matthew, go there. Matthew chapter 15. We're talking about surviving the end times. Listen, if we don't watch this, this will get in us. This out in the world, it'll get in us. You need to spend more time in your Bible than you do on Facebook. You need to spend more time in your Bible than you do on Twitter. You need to spend more time in your Bible than you do reading the news headlines. Because if you don't, that spirit's liable to get inside of you. And then you're taken out in the end times. We're talking about surviving the end times. I want to survive the end times.
I don't just want to survive them. I don't want to just to have a survival mentality, but I titled this to wake us up so we realize we need to do something if we are going to survive it. Amen. There is a flood. One of the messages is going to be, I won't tell you when it's going to be. I don't want you to boycott that service. One of the messages is going to be the flood of filth. We have to survive that. It takes a whole lot more to keep your mind clean today than it did 20 years ago. Right? I mean, all the filth, all the trash. And you can't like wear blinders. It's just out there. It's on the billboards. It's everywhere. And some of the foreign countries, it's worse. I mean, I was in a country here a while back. I was just flying through. I stopped at the airport. And I was just talking to another person there, and I said, you know, I'd like to come back sometime and just, just go through the city here, you know. It's a cool city. And they began telling me some of the things go on in the city. And I thought, man, I don't want to see that. See, it's just a flood of it, but we can survive it. If we do the right things, we do what the Word says, we can survive it. I want to survive it. Amen. Hallelujah. So now, Matthew 15, you got it? All right, let's close down here. Matthew 15. Jesus is talking here. And I tell you what, let's go to verse 12. Then his disciples said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? You know, he was pretty good at offending people. Have you know that? He wasn't trying, but the truth offends, right? See, remember one time he in John 6, he was teaching on something, and his disciples all got offended. They all did. And I believe when it says his disciples got offended, I believe it even means the 12 got offended. And he looked at them and said, will you go also? See, some of them said they walked... John 6:6:6 says so some of them turned away and walked no more with him. John 6:6. Okay. Numerology, folks, wake up. At least I know something. Hallelujah. John 6:6:6. All right. So Jesus looked at his own disciples. He said, will you go also? And kind of makes it indicate Peter was thinking about it because where would we go? Is there another church? He said, no, you got the words of eternal life. But see, he offended them, see? See, a good godly leader sometimes is going to offend you, right? Yeah. The Bible even says about Jesus, he was a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense himself. Just his person offended some people. There are people, I guarantee you, all throughout our city that are offended with you and I. And they're not really offended with us. They're offended with what we believe. They're offended with God. They're offended with Jesus. So to keep from being offended with Jesus, they preach another Jesus. Because the real Jesus offends them. Hallelujah. So we're hearing today another Jesus. Takes me back a few years ago when one of my pastor friends was preaching about another. Remember that service? Another Jesus. Man, one pastor on the front row, a friend of ours from Tennessee, he got so fired, he threw his Bible and said, I'm tired of it. How many know we should be tired of hearing about another Jesus? Paul said there would be people who come and preach another Jesus, another gospel, and have another spirit. We're in that day. But the real Jesus, hallelujah, can still be found in the pages of the book. And he offends darkness. So what the church is doing is changing to another Jesus, because we've come to our church because we have a Jesus that doesn't offend you. He loves you. Well, our Jesus loves you too, but love tells you the truth, even if it loses you. You know, Jesus didn't back down. You know, when he said what he said in John 6, he didn't say, oh, wait a minute, guys, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way. No, he just looked at the other and said, you want to go? Hook them. Well, I made that up. But anyway, praise God. Now look at this. Now let's finish out. We're closing. Verse Verse 12 again, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended at this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. What do we see here? Well, here's the thing. The Pharisees needed to change. The only thing that changes you permanently is the truth. So to keep the truth from them is to actually not walk in love towards them. So Jesus told the truth at all times, but the Pharisees didn't like the truth that Jesus spoke because it went against what they did. But Jesus didn't stop speaking the truth. Now here's what I want to say, okay? Here's the thing. When you think you're perfect, when you think you're perfect and don't need changing, you're setting yourself up for offense. Realizing you aren't perfect will go a long way in keeping you from getting offended. Does this offend you? You need to know. You're not perfect. If you're not perfect, guess what? You need changing. You need changing. Light's a wonderful thing. But when you're in darkness and it's first turned on, it's annoying. A guy wrote a book one time. He said, you know, Jesus said the truth will make you free. Remember that? John 8, the truth will make you free. He said, but sometimes it'll make you miserable first. Because you have to change. So if we think, myself included, I've got elders, leaders in the body of Christ that speak into my life, that are over me. I have to live it the way you do. I can't think I'm perfect, and when they say something, you need to stop that. You need to quit that. I can suck my thumb, get offended, or recognize the truth and grow and be free. Amen? Did you get something today? Ooh, hallelujah. Come on up, Jill. Thank God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if you come back for the rest of this series, but it's all going to be good. Surviving the end times. Next week, I want to talk about this, about not burning your world down. You can burn your own world down these end times. I don't want to burn my world down, man. I want to set my own house on fire. There's enough out there that tries to set on fire without me helping. Let's all stand up. Thank God for His Word today. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thank God for the Word of God.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.